pretty good one. Let me get a good one. There we go.
All right. You.
Anytime you want one of those, you just let me know.
I will. That's an on command kind of thing.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
I'm impressed.
Well, we
anytime you want.
Feel like we've hit a new low. This is the Shotcast, everyone. A podcast about who's the coolest in the lunchroom. There you go. I'm Bo Ranstall. The Belcher is John Dolan. How are you, sir?
I have not been drinking. Not a drop.
It's all natural.
Yeah.
Raw dogging it, they call it.
Nice.
See? Anytime.
All right. Well,
yeah.
You know, little goes a long way. And also, Justin McFerrin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing well also. No one ever asked me, and I wasn't prepared for that question.
Hey, Bo.
Yeah, hey.
How you doing?
See, now you guys are just being jerks.
I'm just bandwagoning it. That's
yeah.
All I'm doing.
You're a real poser.
Mm-hmm.
A real how you doing poser.
Justin was into asking you how you were before it was cool. I'm just
it's
like
true.
A douchebag.
Yeah.
He's OG considerate.
That's right.
You're that guy that takes the Reddit post and puts it on Facebook.
I'm the guy that takes the Reddit post and puts it back on Reddit and gets more votes than the original time it was on Reddit.
There was a time when I went to Reddit a lot. And that time seems to have passed for me. I like every now and again, I'll check in and it's fun to kind of scroll through the pages and see what's what, but I don't regularly go to that website anymore. Is it?
I hit it up. I hit it up pretty regularly. Like I created an account that I never really post with ever, but I use it so that I can control what shows up on my feed by subscribing to certain subreddits. It's a good way to get like video game news and like clear out some of the politics stuff. Like I don't go to Reddit for politics. I go there for entertainment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I go there for the TV shows that I watch and to hear people discuss stupid theories about them and then yell at each other about it.
Yeah. I kind of like specific game forums on Reddit. Like it's an easy place to go for like, I subscribe to the No Man's Sky subreddit and people basically just post gorgeous screenshots all the time. So,
all right, that's cool. I'm just turning into an old man before my own eyes.
There's probably a subreddit for that.
Probably
yeah,
so.
There is, yeah. Get you some help.
Are turning into an old man before my own eyes. It's long, but it's effective.
Yeah, I mean it's what it is. But like last night, I come home. Cook a pot of spaghetti and have some dinner, kick back on the couch for, a few minutes before jumping on playing some video games, and wake up in a fast forward worthy of an Adam Sandler film, and it's 11:30. And I was like, fuck. So I'm up till like 2:30 at that point, and then go back to sleep, and then I'm up at 5:30, and I haven't been right all day.
You get like the 2-3 hour sessions of sleep that none of them actually get you to a REM state, so they were kind of worthless.
But it was more than that. Like if you total it all up, I slept a lot, but it was just all kind of hither and yon,
out of whack. Yeah,
and well, I slept like 8 hours, but yeah, just it was all jumbled up, and and all day long I've been. Just not quite myself. I'm trying to. I'm energetic. I'm excited about doing the show, but at the same time, like a blanket in the recliner sounds so good too. So I don't know. Maybe I'm getting some of that early winter depression or something.
My weakness is putting my son to bed. I'll go up there and read him a book, and then we'll turn off the lights and just kind of sit there and snuggle for a little bit, and then I'll wake up and it's 11:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, really easy to fall asleep in a bed with a little kid because they're just like conk out because they just go like 100% all day long, and then you put them in bed and they just drop.
And they're like little heaters too.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And he climbs up next to me and I just pass out.
Oh, and they smell so delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they smell like their own shit and like all the dirt from the
day. Way they smell
the accumulated filth of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I bathe him like once a week, whether he needs it or not. But
sure, sure, I'm sure.
Sometimes that's done enough.
Yeah, yeah, the other parents appreciate that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Justin, what's been going on with you? I feel like we've
gone.
We've gone down a dark road with John. What's going on in your life worthy of note?
Oh man, not too much. I just got done watching Creep 2. I don't know.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I really like the first one.
Yeah, yeah, we love Mark Duplass. Yeah. In the house. So, yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
I was not let down. Yeah. So I won't say anything to spoil that, but that is what I literally just got done doing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Make it out to the new Blade Runner yet?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
Can't recommend that movie enough.
Yeah.
They are only showing it once a day in IMAX now.
You need to go now.
Yeah. 4:05 p.m.
It was so fucking good in IMAX. I sat right up close. It was enormous, and the sound system like was literally making my seat vibrate for the entire movie. It was fucking phenomenal.
Nice. Yeah, I hear nothing but good stuff about it. It's just no one's going to see it.
Fucking loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it as well, and IMAX is probably going to be the preferred format. But I'm gonna try to get out this weekend. I feel like if I don't, yeah, I'm lost.
You guys should get in a car and go to Mark's house and pick him up, and you should all go see it.
I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, well, my problem is I've got a recording Saturday afternoon and another one Sunday morning. So it's going to be kind of dicey to thread that needle. But
I mean, it's only 3 hours of pure bliss. You just kind of cram it in there.
Well, oh, I thought you meant the recording. The Talking quality entertainment brought to you on legionpodcasts.com.
Where? Legionpodcast.com?
Did someone say legionpodcasts.com? also, sdfgaming.com.
What?
Whoa. So, yeah. Hey, speaking of video games, we should probably talk about the big one.
Yeah.
And it's one we all share in common, so we're just going to all free for all this one. But we have been playing Destiny 2 now that it is finally out on the PC. I did not pick up a PlayStation 4 version of the game at first, and then I found myself double dipping on this game because the guy who directed the horror movie was like, hey man, I just got Destiny on the PlayStation, you want to play? And I was like, fuck, all right. So I double dipped on Destiny 2 in like the space of 48 hours.
Sometimes you gotta go where the action is, you know.
Yeah And whoa, you know, I've been looking for something to play with him and blah blah blah. But
blah blah blah. I have a rule: no new console friends.
Yeah, but
it's 2017.
It's I know. And what was so sad is he, because he had seen the post about Destiny, and he was like, can I get it for my Mac? Well, he's Canadian, so it was more like, can I get it for my Mac, eh? And I was like,
man, strike three.
Yeah, I was like, no, nah, man. And he was like, well, I don't have a computer that would run it, eh? How about you get it on the PlayStation and we'll play it there, eh?
And must be really frustrating talking to somebody that sounds like that.
It's all Canadians sound that way to me.
You sound like Mr. McIntosh from Blank Check.
I don't know if I've ever seen Blank Check.
Oh God, yeah, it's just the voice that was on Macintosh computers that you could type in and be like, "Hello," you know, and just speech or text to speech. The kid uses it to buy a house. No big deal.
Okay. Well, now I kind of want to watch that movie.
$1 million. You know, he's literally live bidding on the phone with a computer. It's
and
stupid.
Yeah, I would agree that most Canadians do sound like text to speech software.
Overly polite.
Very polite. You're looking pretty good today.
Good enunciation, except for a couple of vowels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find
now that we've offended
Avatar,
an entire country here. Yeah.
Not sure what the fuss was about. Anyway. So, but yeah, Destiny. To the deuce. Finally, I hit the PC, which is where we've been playing it. And I'll just start by saying I think that game is real good looking. I think it's a very pretty game. It's also more Destiny.
Yes. And it is 100% more Destiny. I feel like it is a better, way better version of it, though. It seems, in my limited exposure to it, since it just came out a couple of days ago, I really like that Bungie's always been kind of good at the big grand, you know, open area with, like, some kind of just epic draw distance off into mountains that are miles and miles away. Like, that stuff looks super good in this game, and I don't remember it being quite that impressive in the first one. But they've been doing that since the Halo series, so it's just maybe the fidelity of it is a little bit better.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at it on the PS4 yet, but I mean, come on, man. I mean, like, we're all running pretty yeah. decent computers here in that game.
But, and the rumors going around is that it's performing pretty well on even kind of lower power systems. Like, they did their due diligence with optimization and stuff on this game, so.
Yeah, well done. But
honestly, I haven't had any issues with it. It's played smooth. I had like a loading hiccup here and there where it'll freeze on the loading screen for a second, but it's fine. I haven't really had any hiccups in game, no crashes, nothing like that. So they've done a real good job.
Smooth as butter in that department, I will say.
Yeah, I think there is something real satisfying about the way that heads come off in that game. To this day, it is my favorite, like, headshot animation, that kind of wisp or whatever that flies up out of a skull. I like that a lot.
It's the important things.
When we were playing the other night, like, you could tell every time I got one because I couldn't stop going, ooh.
Yeah.
It just feels really good.
Yeah, it really does, man. The shooting in Destiny has always been the thing I liked most about it.
Yeah, there's a nice weight to it.
Yeah, there's an arcadiness about the whole affair. It feels like an advancement and a refinement on, you know, like, weirdly something like House of the Dead or, like, what, Time Cops or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's not quite a corridor shooter, but it almost is.
Yeah, I mean, at times it totally is. Yeah. But then that's kind of the thing. Like, when we were playing the other night, we were going through these really skinny hallways for a while in these kind of small firefights. And then I said out loud, it seems like we're due for a big giant room. And, you know, 60 seconds later, there was some opening into exactly that. Like, that's just kind of Destiny. It's like, fight your way through this little maze here, but there's only one exit and you're not going to have any problem finding it. And then here's a giant room with tons of guys and a boss. That's essentially that game over and over, which is fine because that's really fun.
And if you read the mission, like, descriptors before you do them, almost every single one of them is like, travel into the bowels of blah, 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 blah. So it's like, okay, it's just setting me up to, like, go into, you know, the corridors of my enemy's base or something, you
run
know?
Down into this hole, find the big cavern, and blow shit up.
Right. And in Kurt Russell soldier fashion, you're gonna kill them all, sir. And that feels good, man. That's the thing that they've always gotten right in that game. Is like you said, the kind of the weightiness of the shooting coupled with a very, you know, like, a very routine game loop, but there's just enough fun in the killing of these alien monsters that I'm kind of okay with all of that. Like, the limitations of the game are the limitations of the game, but within the rails that they've created for themselves, like, what they're doing is great, in my opinion.
Totally agree. I think with the guns specifically, it's a couple of things. It is the sound effects for the guns are top notch. I'm a big fan of cool gun sounds in games. Borderlands was always a standout. PUBG does it really well. The Battlefield series always had great gun sounds, but Bungie's always been pretty good at that as well, and it's great in this game. And then I think the second thing that really sells it is specifically like a hand cannon or, you know, some of the smaller guns. The way that they kick is just timed just right and is kind of realistic with the height. Like when you fire a pistol and it kind of pops up in the air in front of the screen, it just all connects really well. The audio, the visual of it, and like the impact when it hits as well. They all just kind of stack up and just make it seem awesome. I love the shooting in that game.
Well, and like you and I had played, along with Power Listener Andy and Mark, a ton of Destiny on the PS4. And
through all of it except the raids, I think we did.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty thorough. We had a good time with that game.
Yeah.
But we all had like the had waited until that game of the year, here's all the DLC edition.
Yeah. Which, man, if I had bought it originally, I would have been super pissed off. Like, there was nothing there on that first release. Like, it was bad. And, I mean, comparatively, they've learned that lesson, and this game is full of stuff to do, so.
Yeah. I will, before, after this, I definitely want to turn this to Justin, because as someone new to Destiny, I am, I'm very curious about your thoughts on the game.
And also as somebody who typically, like, I would classify this as a console shooter.
Yeah.
Even though we're playing it on PC.
But it feels like a Doom or a Wolfenstein or
absolutely,
something like that.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. It's definitely got an id feel to it.
Yes. But I will say, maybe somewhat controversially, I actually kind of like the story of this game a bit more. In the sense I am following it, and I think it's got a good villain, and I understand what the villain's motivations are, and I think I finally understand what the Traveler is, which I never
I was kind of talking shit about it the other night, but I've come around a little bit on it as well. It's, I mean, the first game story was just so stupid and convoluted and, it, like, no sense. It was impossible to translate what the hell was going on in that game. And I think they've kept it a lot simpler this time. The bad guys came to our house and started fucking shit up, and now we got to push them back out. And it's like a desperate situation. Like, it's the general gist of it is much simpler than the original one, and it just makes it better. Like, it was, that's a problem Bungie's always had. Like, the fucking Halo stories were just like, what? This is too much. Just dial it back here. Like, you got this faction of guys, and they are working for these guys, and then there's this other thing. They've had that problem since, did you guys ever play Marathon?
I never played that one. Was it their first game, Marathon?
Yeah, it was a Mac-exclusive game that was their first game. And then they did a second one as well that was called Marathon 2 Durandal. And that was a fucking great game. And you could, for a Mac game, it had some cool shit going on. There was like a level editor you could fuck around with in there. And it was just a cool game. But it was just loaded with lore that was just unnecessary. Like, and it was all text back then. You had to read all this shit, and it was fucking volumes of it. And I feel like maybe I'm starting to finally come around on Bungie's storytelling with this game, because it's just less of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a more streamlined affair. Like, and honestly, I may have said this to you guys while we were playing, but when they do that opening of, you know, last time on Destiny, that was the first time I understood the story of Destiny, and I was like, oh, that's what I played, okay, that seems cool. I wish they had said that. But at least
that game?
yeah and but yeah, like I said, now in this one I feel like it's you know, there's plenty of stuff convoluted about Destiny. The story this time around ain't the thing, it seems like. So
yeah, it seems fine.
Yeah, perfectly serviceable. And like I said, I think the like Darth Vader style villain, and also a bit of the villain from Fury Road with all the boils on the head and whatnot. But as promised, though, Justin. I can't wait to hear like your summation of this game just a few hours in.
I'll go good, I'll go, then I'll go bad, I think. So the thing that I think I really like about this game, on top of like the gunplay, which is good, I mean, it's a Halo game to me, you know, it's a Halo shooter That's the style I get from it, from even from like the crosshairs and how they work, and even like the grenades and stuff are very Halo to me. But that's great. That's like the core of a good game.
They're really good at making that style game.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And the thing that I really like about this game that's different from other games that I would probably classify as similar, you know, in the open world part of it, which open is kind of a loose term, in the more opened up levels that you get to, there are like the community events where you're fighting against AI enemy with other, you know, random people who are just in that instance with you. I really like that, you know, the PvE over a PvP, kind of like, you know, the Division, unless you went to the Dark Zone, you didn't see people.
Yeah.
Just running around. It would be cool, you know, we always said it, you know, it'd be cool if you, like, rolled up on some people who were in a, you know, a bad time, and in that area you could just help each other, you know, or something like that. So
I think the problem with the Dark Zone was that it was PvP and PvE at the same time.
Yeah.
And it just devolved into PvP all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would have been nice in that game. You're right. If it was more like Destiny, where it's you're never fighting each other unless you go into the specific area for that, the Crucible.
Yeah. Like they allow for it, certainly, and encourage it. But it's like, but if you're just here to play, then, you know. Like you said, those community events where you run into another fire team and you're like, oh, we're just going to help these dudes fuck this thing up.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
And you might show up and it might take you 45 seconds because they've already killed most of everything, but you're still going to get that loot crate and you're still going to get a bunch
of
stuff that's dropped down there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's the fucking best when you roll up right at the end of a big fight and you still get loot.
Yeah. And it's so there's always an incentive to do that. Yeah. In Destiny. So I really like that. I think that's cool.
It plays to the strength of the game. The best thing about Destiny is shooting people.
Yeah.
And the general mode of that game, when you are not currently engaged in a story or like a side mission, is to just run around and shoot tons of shit that just keeps regenerating. And you get loot for it. That sounds awesome. The formula is just a pure essence of that. I don't know. They nailed it. And they had that in the first game too, but I don't think it was a little different because it was more, I think the open areas were way more spread out in the first game and you would be in the middle of a mission and you would come across some public event thing that was going on. And it wasn't, they were very similar. Like each planet in Destiny 2 kind of has, I was on Titan last night and I was just running back and forth between two public events.
The two.
And even one of them like has a tank where you have to blow up the tank and it's the same every time. But then the other one, was just,
except
the
tank one, sometimes there's two tanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh shit.
Yep, and then the other one is, I think, more fun because it's just fucking throwdown in, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and there's just fucking tons of guys and a bunch of bosses and shit.
Is that like the portal thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one's cool because they just come bum rushing out of this portal zombie horde.
You can just run back and forth between those two public events, and then while you're doing that, it's like you're in a zone that's perpetually in a state of war, and ships will be flying in and dropping off guys here and there, and you'll hear gunshots off in the distance, and you'll look and see other players that are not a part of your group, and you can just run over there and fuck shit up with them. It's
help
great.
Them out.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a really great part of this game. It certainly fosters people working together. And I haven't even done a Crucible thing yet. We'll try that soon enough, I'm sure. We'll probably get our butts handed to us.
Yeah, but it'll be fun to check it out. I don't know that I ever did it in Destiny 1.
I think I did it, like, twice.
Twice to get the
I'd give it some piece of
achievement
loot I wanted.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
So with that said, the loot. I guess like a con I have is sort of just some of the systems of the game seem like they are very convoluted, and maybe it's just like it's the way it was, and that's just how it is in this game. But like my appearance in the game, I just feel like I'm changing that stuff so often that my character looks stupid half the time.
This like is an exactly idiot. What I meant when we were talking on a previous episode about how they were going to let you import your old character or some shit like that. And I said I literally couldn't pick him out of a lineup. It's because of this exact thing.
Yeah, like I would like... I don't know what the compromise is, because they want you to get a bunch of loot, but, you know, you guys said there's like a thing, a mechanic somewhere in the game, or at least in the first game, where you could take like a weapon that's lower level and pump it up to a higher level by like shoving another gun inside of it or something. I'd like that mechanic to exist for everything if it doesn't.
Yeah.
So if I just like put together a cool outfit, I can just keep shoving the new better armor that I'm finding in the world just into that to make
keep
that...
the look and apply the stats like Diablo does that with like the gem tools, like, oh, I really like this axe, but it's not quite up to snuff, but it's got 4 gem slots on it, so I can basically turn it into whatever I want, you know? And just... then they even have the what's the thing called, Bo, where you can change how something looks?
Oh, the enchanter.
No,
there's the enchanter, there's the blacksmith,
the transmogrifier.
Oh, right, right, right.
Where you can just...
Oh, right, you can have it look like another piece like of
whatever.
Loot. Yeah.
Anything. Yeah, yeah. You can make it look... So you can make your character look however you want, but it still has the stats that came with it when it dropped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but that's... You know, the problem we're talking about, though, definitely existed in the first Destiny. They just didn't fix it in this one.
No.
Yeah, I feel like the only... compromise, now that I think about it for a second, is just to fully commit to it being an FPS RPG, but make it arcadey. So, you know, disjoint the skill from the loot, at least when it comes to armor and things that are appearance wise, and just let me buy loot that's armor, but let me maybe rank up skills that are going to make that armor a certain, you know, level or a certain a certain power. It's going to say, oh, well, you have X, you know, resistance to this, and this armor makes it 20% better, you know, give it something like that. So, you know, I don't feel attached to most of the things I get. And it is the same way with the guns. There are guns that I find that I really like, and I just get rid of them.
Yeah, it's more like you pick the style of gun you like. Like, I'm a big scout rifle, sniper, submachine gun, that combo.
Yeah.
And that's what I stick with. And I kind of don't give a shit about the other guns I get.
Yeah.
I guess I'm still trying flavor. I'm still trying to feel out exactly what I like, I guess, with the guns.
That auto rifle's awful good, too, though. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
That's
a fine weapon. Prefer certain... I mean, although you need different weapon types like energy and fire and concussive and whatever for different enemies, and I always try to keep at least one of those. And maybe I'm not using it, but I'll have all the weapon types in my inventory, so I could just like quickly switch to it or something.
Yeah.
But I definitely prefer like the fire types and the concussive types. There's the I forget what the purple one does. Is that the energy? I don't even know.
I think so.
Yeah, like I'll carry a pistol that'll knock down shields. That's another thing that I like is I like weapon types on certain types of weapons. Like I like having a pistol that'll knock down a shield because unless it's like a hand cannon, there's why I had one that's kind of like an auto pistol where it fires like, you know, it's 5 rounds at a time or something like that.
Yeah.
And it had an energy type on it. So, you know, a knight would come around the corner and I'd try to get as many headshots as I could and his shield would go down and then I would switch to my scout rifle or another good one is a grenade launcher is pretty fun. So it's that I kind of agree with your point about how it's kind of convoluted. Like there's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, some of those systems are real dumb. And unnecessarily complicated. That is a completely fair criticism of both Destiny games.
Yeah. I think I said it when we were playing. Just the whole, like, I load up the game. I'm like, I want to play the game. And it loads up to, like, another screen that's, like, open director. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, Yes, that's the only option I have here other than to, like, open the game settings, you know, or, like, my friends list. So it's, okay, so now I'm on a map, and now I can pick, like, where I can go. And now it's showing me just, like, a, you know, I can understand the loading animation is, like, a ship, and it's flying down. Mm-hmm. But just, like, stick me inside the ship while it's flying down or something.
Yeah.
Right, if you want me to be attached to this character, how about you let me look at it more than...
Just in the inventory.
Yeah,
just put me in the game world with the, I don't know. Another thing
I don't like is when you're at like a hub world and it pulls out to third person for some reason, but you can't pull your guns out and fire them and like try them out.
And you can't triple jump?
Nope.
You can't do like any of the, that other stuff. Yeah, you know, that is a weird thing. The hub zones and making it be third person. You know, that makes it sound like I'm putting a little more negative on it, but I honestly really like it. You know,
there are problems, but it's Destiny. Like, it's just inherently got some issues just by kind of the nature of the way that it was originally.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, changing some of that stuff. I don't know.
Well, it's like when a Bethesda game comes out, and it's like, this is an amazing achievement. It's buggy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, yeah, it's a Bethesda game. And that's kind of Destiny at this point, is like, yeah, the menus are needlessly complicated. There's like four different kinds of currency. I don't know what half of them do. Like the process of upgrading your guns is still just impenetrable to me. And yet it's a super fun game to kill people with your friends, you know?
I think maybe it appeals to players on different levels. Like for me, it's a, oh, this gun is better. Oh, these boots have a higher defense rating. I'm putting that shit on. And I'll stick with certain, you know, weapon types, like you were saying, Bo. But sometimes it's like, oh, well, this weapon is just so much more powerful than anything I have. I have to be using this weapon.
Yeah, right, I'll use this shotgun because it fires other shotguns at people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's...
You know, in those random instances, though, I like to think that the enemies you're fighting just reproduce so quickly that these are their offspring. And it's just like, look, we know this didn't work last time when your father never came back. But we're taking that as a good sign. So we're following them in, same exact pattern. And best of luck, boys, and your children are proud of you. And they'll be right behind you.
It's kind of a perpetual horde mode. That's kind of how this game works.
Yeah, it is like a built-in horde mode.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I've got 20 minutes. I can probably do two of those. If, you know, if you just load it up and there's one starting, as soon as that one's done, there's probably going to be another one.
Yeah. But overall, you like it.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. So
that's what I wanted to say, sorry. The
You like it, now shut up.
Yeah, your comments about how you like load into the ship and then you got to go to the director and all that stuff. In the first Destiny, you would be at the hub world and you would have to choose go to orbit and there would be a short load and then you would be in your ship and then you would choose your destination and then your ship would fly to the destination and then your ship would hover over your destination while it loaded and then you would descend down to your destination and then you'd be at your destination.
And God forbid
you went to the wrong fucking place.
Right, you went to the wrong place. Because then it's like, all right, I'm going to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
And
so at least they've made, like, you can directly access the director by just holding down the button. It goes right to it. You choose your destination and it's like, they eliminated a load screen from it. It's still several load screens, but
I guess with the load screen. Like, I hate the whole concept of that load screen.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
Well, I will say that it seems to be pretty snappy. Like, I don't think that you're not stuck on them the way you were on Destiny. Like, these are much faster load times than that game ever pulled off.
Absolutely. Well, and we were playing that on PS4, so I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare one-to-one because there was never a PC version of the original. Right, so, right.
Like, maybe yeah. the PS4 network is partially to blame for some yeah. of that, but...
yeah. Yeah. No, you have to report back on if there's a performance difference. I'd be curious about that.
I'll let you know. I'm curious myself. The only thing...
For science.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not looking forward to is going back through the front end of it again just to get to the part where you can play with other people.
That's probably my biggest beef with it so far is that new tutorial sucks. It's bad.
I mean, I think it does a reasonable job of teaching you the basic mechanics. It does poor job of teaching you anything about the deeper mechanics of the game.
Yeah. Well, and I felt like it played different than the actual game. Like, I didn't feel like the jump felt right. And the run felt super slow to me in the tutorial. And then when I got to the regular game, I was like, oh, fucking thank God it's not like that. I don't know if
and it just jump cuts like a music video. Like, it's just like, oh, this thing is done. Okay, black. And now you're somewhere else. And, oh, yeah, some exposition about something that I have no idea about, you know. And that's my own fault.
Yeah,
I told you guys that. I was just like, I have no idea whose motivations are really what. I'll get a crash course at some point. But yeah, I don't know.
Do you remember if in the first one, this is my memory of it. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was when you got to the end of some missions, you had to like backtrack and run your way back out of it.
Yeah, that seems right. That feels
and
like
this
a thing
one,
done.
Like you get to the end of a story mission and it just kind of slowly fades to black and then you're back at the person that like the quest giver, or it teleports you to like the hub world again or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty well, I don't know. The first game did that too, now that I think about
it. Did,
yeah.
But I feel like there were some times where it's like, okay, we killed everybody.
Oh, I mean, give it time. We've already seen the platforming rear its head, so let's not.
It hasn't and which hasn't been that
it
bad.
It hasn't
actually,
been terrible now. So far has been okay.
As long as you're playing as a character that can triple jump, you're good to go. Yeah. You can basically save your butt out of any situation.
I just unlocked that. That's pretty okay.
I will say a game that this game could take just a quick little lesson from would be Titanfall 2 with like the wall running. And just the parkour in general in that. If they put that in this game would be a little bit better, too.
So it's funny that you say that, because when I was playing the tutorial and I was in the middle of, oh, God, I hope the whole game's not like this, all I could think about was, why didn't they just make it like Titanfall 2?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly... I was like, oh, I could just, like... And there's so many times I've been playing it where I'm like, if only I could run across that wall and then triple jump off that wall.
And not even
this
that.
This would be
just,
so much cooler.
Just the gunplay of Titanfall 2. Like, it's better now that I swear there is a difference between the way the tutorial section plays and the way the actual game plays. Like, speed of your guy and just the general movement and everything. Because I was just like, oh God, please let it not be this way. And then finally it wasn't, or I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, man, this would be better if I could Titanfall some shit here.
Although maybe, unless someone else has another criticism, maybe it's best to go out on emphasizing something that Justin kind of hinted at, is there is a cool factor to some of the shit you can pull off in this game. Wall running aside, that would be cooler. But there are a couple of kind of quick, reflex combinations that you can pull off in this game that make you feel pretty awesome. When we were playing the other night, there was that point where I kind of chased some dudes a little further than I should have and got away from the group and was kind of chasing them into the monster closet, at which there are totally monster closets in this game. And, ended up shooting one dude, had to reload, but in the middle of the reload, another dude popped out, so I stabbed him in the face, and then another dude was coming from my left, so I just swapped guns real quick and then shot him in the face, and that felt amazing. Yeah. I felt like a man for the first time in my life. And this game like has those moments in it, and the first one did, and this one clearly seems to as well. And that's kind of what makes Destiny such a A Cruel Mistress. There's so many things wrong under the hood, but
I feel like they're all so right. Like, I feel like they're all minor problems, though.
Yeah.
Like to the point where you're like, why didn't they just fix this? Like, why is it like this? And it's irritating because of that. And less so that it's like, oh, this is fucked up. Like, I can't enjoy myself because of this thing. Like, there's nothing like that to me. I find the game, you know, very enjoyable, super fun to play. I'm certain that I will play to the completion of the story missions of whatever it has to offer, because I, you know, I did the same in Destiny 1, which I think is a far more flawed game. So,
yep, totally agree. So, other than Destiny, Justin, what else have you been playing?
The old Cuphead.
Mm. Yeah, let's hear about it.
So, I mean, to, I guess, put it lightly, it's just a sort of a bullet hell side scroller, but done in the sort of Max Fleischer rotoscope kind of art style. It is hard, very, very hard. It's basically built around just boss battles, kind of just bullet hell boss battles where you just have to memorize the different stages of the boss and just get lucky enough or good enough to actually make it through. And there are it's kind of got a little open world map, and there are different levels in between, like some side scroller, like run and gun levels where like you're getting pushed from left to right.
Kind of Contra.
Yeah, kind of like Contra. Yeah. But I mean, this game is just like, just the art style is insane. It's right out of, you know, the 1950s cartoon type stuff. Just everything is done sort of by hand. If you look into some of the how it was made, it's like cell animated by hand and then inked by hand.
I saw a video that went into. It was specifically talking about the battle where you're fighting like the big sunflower.
Yeah.
And shows in just like kind of, I think it was maybe 1.5 seconds of gameplay, there were 23 unique drawings of the sunflower character that move across the screen. Like, it's got a nice, you know, it's that 40s, 50s cartoon style, like kind of a Steamboat Willie, but there's the, like, you can always tell when you're watching a good cartoon versus a bad cartoon, because a bad cartoon, like, the character stands still for a super long time while their mouth kind of flaps up and down. And good cartoons are like Bugs Bunny, where there's, like, you know, in Disney cartoons where there's tons of frames of animation and smooth movement that, you know, almost can, from time to time, kind of, you know, mimic human movements. Cuphead fucking nails that shit. It is so good looking.
It is very good looking. And I mean, the difficulty is a factor. They do offer, simpler or like a simple version of the bosses. You don't get to play all the stages.
Which, and I think it is super hard, but I feel like it's doable with practice. Like, you're going to die on every boss. There's, you know, several times, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's all about learning the pattern,
just fighting through it.
Yeah, and I feel like if you play the simple mode, you're doing yourself a disservice, because you don't get to see all the cool shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend who came over, and I probably led on those too difficult, and he picked simple mode, and it was a boss that I had beaten, and he totally missed, like, the final stage of it, which was the coolest stage of it, where, and more often than not, in the bosses that I've seen, the final stages have the more complex and oftentimes humorous things.
Yeah, like the guy that turns into the gravestone that tries to smash you.
Yeah, or the two frogs that like turn into a giant cash roulette wheel thing or whatever, cash register. So it's like, you know, it's worth it. And there's a lot of time that goes into it, so it's worth it to fight through it.
Normally, I don't enjoy games that are really punishing. To an extent, I do. Like, I played a lot of Super Meat Boy, but I didn't get very far through it. And I like Cuphead way better than that game, because Super Meat Boy was kind of, less unique, I guess. I mean, each individual level in Super Meat Boy was kind of, you know, it had a unique design and a different pattern and a way to get through it and everything. But generally, the mechanics of that game were just jump, you know, kind of wall grip, wall slide. And, you know, in Cuphead, all you basically do is jump and shoot. But the variety comes from the design of all the enemies that you fight. They're just incredible looking and just so varied and complete. Like, I can't think of, off the top of my head, an example of a game that just kind of, like, went for a certain style and so completely did it.
Yeah. I'm in the camp of, I just want to watch somebody play this. I would never... I don't know that I would enjoy how frustrated that game would make me.
I'm surprisingly unfrustrated by it. Like, it's almost like...
Here's the thing
it's,
that
it's hard but fair.
Yeah. And when you die, there's an outline of the level that you've played.
Yeah.
Like a status bar from left to right. And it shows, oh, hey, you got like, you know, 57% of the way, basically.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, man.
And there's vertical lines along the bar that show where the different stages, the different forms of the boss are. So, all right, I made it past the second one. There was only one more after this, and I already know what the first two, I know what to expect there. So it's just a matter of, you know, building the muscle memory to pass each level. Like, it's 100% doable. It's hard, and it could be frustrating to an extent, but I don't feel like there's any cheap deaths in it.
Yeah, because
the patterns are pretty set. But it does this cool thing where the timing of the pattern can be slightly different. It's still like there's a boss that always fires three things and then does a fourth thing that's different. But when he fires those three things, like, it might just wait just a little bit longer before it fires the three things one time. Or one of the first bosses you fight is like that blue goo guy, and he just kind of jumps around at the beginning of the stage and you kind of have to dash underneath him. But sometimes when you're doing that, like, he'll jump and just kind of the nature of the physics of it will not always land in the same spot. Like, it's not like fucking Donkey Kong where you just know, stand here and stand here and the things will fucking bounce over you. It's slightly different every time. And then sometimes he'll stop to do like a little animation in the middle of a phase and then won't quite jump as soon as he did the last time. Like, there's some slight variations that keep you kind of guessing, which I think is cool. It makes it a little more difficult, but it's adds to the variety of it for me.
Awesome. All right, if I can pick it up on the cheap, I'll give it a try. And that's not no defamation of the game itself. It's just my own trepidation at my skill as a gamer of that stripe. But it seems cool. Like, everything I see about that game is just gorgeous, you know, and very creative and inventive. Like, it just seems like a fantastic game.
Yeah, at the very least, that for anybody that's just not interested in playing it themselves, it's absolutely something you should see because it's just so goddamn pretty.
Speaking of goddamn pretty, John, what have you been playing of late in addition to playing, like, the Destinies?
900 fucking games, man. It's been like a fucking fire hose of video games lately, and it's not stopping. I'm gonna do a couple of quick ones.
All right.
I played a little more Heat Signature, and I just want to bring that up again because I played a mission in that game that I thought was super clever. One of the as you take over stations in that game, you can do these missions that are kind of specific to that station, and if you complete it, you unlock a special piece of loot or whatever. And one of the missions was you start in space with no ship, and the spaceship that you need to get on is immediately traveling away from you, and you have to figure out how to get on it with no ship. And so because the game has physics-based guns, you realize that by firing your shotgun, you can gain momentum, and if you fire it enough times, you start to catch up to the ship that's slowly flying away, and you're slowly losing oxygen the entire time, so you have to point away from the ship and shoot your shotgun to propel yourself to the airlock and get on the ship. And then the mission after that is, you know, it's a Heat Signature mission that's a lot of fun. But I thought that was just really, really clever because it doesn't explain initially that that's how you do it. Just like the mission text says something like, yeah, you're in space and you got to figure out how to get on the ship and kill this guy. And that's it. That's all you get. It was really cool. I really, really like that game. That's one of the better games I've played this year.
Bold words.
Yes.
Like I played Brothers, best controlling game of all time.
No, that was Inside.
Inside. Sorry. Was it originally Still. Brothers?
No, it was Inside. It was the best controlling game I've ever played. I stick by that.
All right.
That game's fucking tight. I played some Battlefront 2 beta. Anyone else get into that at all?
I did not. That was.
I played a little bit of it.
It was fun. Very pretty. It's a fucking great looking Star Wars game. I'm still a little disappointed in what is typically my favorite part of the original versions of that game, which is flying spaceships. That feels super fucking slow to me and is a total drag.
It was weird. And just the levels that they had didn't really feel conducive to the... I mean, well, I didn't play the vehicles only, but the vehicles in the actual first person section when you were in the air vehicles, it was just kind of pointless.
Yeah. It's just sluggish. Like it's, I don't know, like you're flying around in the vehicles only one. It's a, rebels are attacking a Star Destroyer that's at like a star base and you have to like blow up certain things on it. And there's some phases to it. And then the Empire is, you know, all TIE fighters and shit, and you're just trying to kill the rebels and keep them from getting these objectives. And the side of that that's way more fun is the TIE fighters, where you're just doing ship-to-ship combat. But even when you're in a fucking TIE fighter, which should feel just, like, super fast and kind of slightly out of control, it's just like this slow, you're just moving. Like, the sense of speed is totally not there, and it's a huge bummer. The first person shooter or third person shooter part of it, you can play it first person if you want, it's fun. It looks great. I could see myself picking it up on the cheap, like when I've played through Destiny and there's nothing more to consume there and I've kind of gotten through, you know, all this deluge of games that's coming out. I'll probably pick it up just for that, because that was fun. The levels seem varied. I really enjoyed playing it on PC. I had previously played the last one on PS4, and mouse and keyboard's the way to go, man. It's nice. There's not too much more to say about it than that. I mean, it's just a beta. But you know, if you liked the original Battlefront that came out a couple years ago, you'll absolutely like this. It's just kind of more of it. But my favorite part of that game is flying, and it's a big letdown. So they don't have fucking tokens in there, though. The fucking tokens are gone. Thank God.
Good.
That system. The cards are still there, but the tokens are gone.
Yeah, and that's the other big kind of downer. It's just like, can I just pick a fucking weapon to use, like based on my class? Like, I don't want to have these burner cards, and the way the upgrades and like the I guess it would be like perks in like a Call of Duty kind of game.
Yeah.
The way that shit works is just dumb. It's just, and none of the powers really do anything for me. Like, oh, this modifies this thing slightly and makes it so you can have one thing. And it's just like,
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Like a lot of that was really disappointing. Like I kept playing the heavy because he had a big machine gun and I liked having tons of rounds of ammo before I have to reload. And then I played it, like I got hit the max level in the beta, which didn't take all that long, because it's just that one level too. It was like what's the prequel fucking city? I don't even know what the name of this shit is.
Naboo City.
Yeah. God. But I eventually unlocked a modifier for the heavy weapon, which instead of being basically like a saw, turned it into like this kind of one round per second cannon that fired this really kick-ass looking energy beam. Like the sound effects were really cool. The visuals are fantastic. And then your guy kind of just like leans back into this big weapon that he's carrying and just starts going, bruh, 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 and you just start wrecking dudes with it. And you know, that was kind of fun, but, the classes were fun. I can't get into all the cards and shit and all the, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess like my gripe is just the whole concept of that game. You got this beautiful engine, it looks great, and you're not, I mean, Star Wars is about stories, and you're not telling any stories. You're just...
Well, there's a single-player campaign in this one that, like, we know nothing about it other than some screenshots, so we'll have to see when it comes out, but that wasn't in the last one.
Like, I just want, like, some minor characters.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need, like, new people. Give me, like, oh, hey, here's fucking Mace Windu or whoever, yeah. You know, Biggs and Wedge, and you're playing that. You're those guys.
Yeah.
Here's a story with those guys, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. They just made weird choices with the Star Wars franchise in that video game, I feel like.
Yeah. When it hits $20, it's like, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if it's $20, yeah. I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah. I played, I can't remember if I talked about it on the last show or not, SteamWorld Dig 2.
I don't know if I don't know if we talked about it, but I've played a fair amount of that as well.
Yeah, I picked that up on the Switch, and man, that's a great game to have on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
I never played the first one, but I own it apparently. When I was going through my Origin library to play Battlefront, I saw that I owned SteamWorld Dig, so I think I might have got it for free or something. I don't know, but. From what I've read, this game totally blows the concept of the first one up to a much bigger level, and it's just got this kick-ass vibe to it where you just kind of go down and you dig, and there's some puzzle solving to it, and traversing the world is really fun, and it's super pretty, and I'm super glad I bought it on the Switch. Like, it's totally a game that you could just play on a plane and kind of chill out. It's really fun.
Yeah, yeah. I like that game quite a bit. It's not super deep or anything, but it is a great video game.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's a game you could totally put quarters in to play.
Yeah. 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 Well, gentlemen, I know you've all been waiting for this. I played recently, you know, it's a spooky time of year, the Halloween time. So I've been, trying to play some horror games. Which led me to a game called Doki Doki Literature Club.
Huh. Spooky.
Wait, right. Sounds scary. And it presents itself as one of those like anime-style dating sim games, you know? Mm. And so, all right, so here's the basic premise, right? Is you're, you know, young dude, and your neighbor is like, hey, they're starting a literature club at school, why don't you come check it out? And so you do, and then there are these three cute girls there. And so in untypical game, the whole deal is that you're trying to like get them gifts or whatever. Like, there's a mini game in Doki Doki Literature Club where you have to compose a poem. And if you choose certain words, like, it's kind of a Mad Libs where you're filling in some words, and which words you fill in will be more appealing to one girl or the other. And so, you know, you do that, and then all of a sudden your neighbor that brought you to the Doki Doki Literature Club is starting to act a little weird, a little off, not showing up to school. And so you go talk to her, and she starts telling you all about how she's been thinking about killing herself a lot lately, and then does. And then the game restarts, and it's as if that game had never or that character had never existed in the game at all.
Weird.
Do what now?
Yeah. There's no mention of her, nothing like that. It like you go through like the first 10 minutes of the game again.
So they just straight Mulholland Drive you.
Yes. And it keeps getting weirder.
Wow.
And it's very creepy. It's like I said, it presents as one of those anime style games. So don't play it at work because people will think you're a creep. But that's not what the game is. The game is really fascinating. It's kind of spooky. It's got a very J-horror vibe to it. And the way that the game resolves itself, the way that you, what you have to do to actually end the game is something you actually have to do outside of the game. It's really clever. It's very cool. It's a really eerie story. I can't recommend it enough. Like I said, just go into it knowing that it's like, hey, here are these cutesy Japanese girls, but that ain't the kind of game it is. Like, it is, but it's not. And, oh, it's really good. Very, very unusual. I think the team that made it, not a team, it was one dude who wrote and programmed it and a couple of other people doing art and music. And it's free on Steam. So it don't cost nothing, and it's about 3 hours to get through it. And it's a really cool experience.
Huh. Well, it sounds like it might not cost money. Sounds like it might cost a little piece of your soul.
It's it's a little unnerving, for sure. Because, like, the game is... It's not making fun of that style of game, but there is a... Within the story, there is a very explicit acknowledgement of kind of what those games are. And it's all part of the story, and I don't want to get too deep. But it knows. The game knows. You don't have to feel too weird about it.
12,111 people on Steam say that it's a 97% good game.
Yeah.
That's a good rating from a lot of people.
I'm one of those people. I think it's fantastic. It's been actually making the rounds. I noticed on PC Gamer just had an article about it, and a couple of the other game sites have really put a light on this game.
There's downloadable content. Is that how this game makes its money?
No, I think the DLC is like the soundtrack, and maybe there's a director's commentary or something. I don't think it's actually game related. If it is, I'll fucking pay for it and play it. That Doki Doki Literature Club is fucking awesome.
Like, I don't understand why it's free exactly.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's not that long, and also I don't know if the guy's done a game before. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. I probably am now unwittingly a spy for the Russians. I have no idea.
One of the top reviews on Steam says, "I wanted a dating sim, but I got depression. Good game."
Yeah. The turn, like, it's a mild spoiler to tell you about this character killing herself, but, like, that's the turn of the game, and then it just goes fucking apeshit from there. But that moment when you're playing the game and you, like, open a door and there's a drawing of this cutesy style Japanese girl, like, noose around her neck just hanging dead from her ceiling, it's fucking grim.
It's on my wish list, so I remember to play it.
Yeah, it's cool. I can't, like I said, especially this time of year, spooky time of year, if you want a good like horror video game, like it truly is a horror story that can't be told in any other format than a video game. And it's really good. It's creepy. Play it with someone you love and who won't judge you.
Bo, do you want to play that game with me?
Yeah, I would totally. I would love to watch someone play that game just to get the reaction at certain points in the story of like, what the fuck.
I'm saying that I love you, Bo, and I know you won't judge me.
Oh, I don't. How could I possibly? The kind of shit I've done in my life. Can't judge anybody.
I knew I chose the right man.
I watched a man die. Looked him in the eyes. He died. I didn't kill him, but I watched him die. Yeah. No, that's not true.
You're just waiting for the moment.
Hey, I do want to mention this real quick, not to be a greedy greeterson about the video games I've been playing, John. But I played a little bit of Shadow of War.
Hey, I played that too.
Hey, that's a game that is a sequel to Shadow of Mordor.
Totally is. It is 100% a sequel to that game.
It seems really cool. I this sounds so bad. I got it as a gift, which was great. It was much appreciated. And I've played some of it and I really enjoy it. It's just there are so many games coming out right now. Yep. And that's the one I enjoyed least. But I will go back to it. Like, it's going to be that game that once all the Destiny settles down and what else is coming out this year? I might play that Mario game that's the buzz around that's really good. Wolfenstein, just it's coming out as
Friday.
Yeah, as listeners hear this, would be today. That's coming out. Shit, a couple of other things it feels like that I'm forgetting right now. Hopefully not. Maybe that's it.
Need for Speed.
Oh yeah, that could be cool.
See? Mm-hmm. I've heard nothing but shit about both Gran Turismo and Forza. And I have lost interest in playing either of those games.
Yeah.
So I need for Speed to be good.
Yeah, that'd be all right. It depends on how dumb they go with the story. Like, the more they take it seriously, the less interested I am. If they're going to be real story heavy. But if it's like, all right, Cole, you got to drive this Pinto through a moving semi. Otherwise, they're going to kill Darlene. You know, like, that's the game I want. And I hope that's what they give me. But
you played Middle Earth Shadow.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention it because I feel like I should.
Me too.
It's a big game that came out, and I think it's good. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. It's just I'd rather play Destiny than that right now.
Yep. And I think it's going to turn out to be a good podcast game where I listen to a show and murder thousands of orcs.
Yeah. And all of that, like, it looked great. All that combat still felt great. But once more, that story is just...
Don't care.
Who could give a shit?
Like, we were ragging on Destiny's story, but man, Shadow of War is fucking worthless in the story department.
Right, at least I know who the villain of Destiny 2 is. I don't really know who the bad guy is.
I think you're the villain in Shadow of War. Great. You're just murdering thousands of orcs. Like, they're just standing around, and you just go in there and fucking kill them all.
They're kind of asking for it.
I'll murder Nazis all day long, but kind of feel a little bad for some of the orcs.
I don't know. They're not people like us, John.
That's true. Yeah. It's still fun chopping their heads off and stuff.
Look, you may call me an orcist all you want. I don't believe they're people. I give them maybe 3/5.
I don't think they're people at all. They're orcs.
Yeah, well, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, all of that's real fun, and at some point I'm gonna go back and have a great time playing that game.
I agree. But I played it for maybe 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. I got far enough into it to unlock a couple of the cool combo moves where you can start to kind of explore the you know, skill tree. I don't feel like in the early parts of the game all the loot crate controversy stuff is a problem. It sounds like that only really comes into play when you get to the end of that game and there's like this giant grind to get like the highest powered guys. But from everything I've read and watched about it, it takes fucking a long time to get to that point in the game. And I think by then I'll probably be tired of it. So it won't really affect me at all.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I agree. I did find myself, as I was playing the game there, like it was a nice stress reliever because heads come off in that game pretty good too. But you know, I was thinking about it as I was playing that, the thing I think the game is missing most, I mean, the story is real forgettable and all that, but the fact that, like, the Batman games, which are very similar games, only just without the Nemesis system.
And the murdering.
And, well, you beat the shit out of people pretty good. I think a couple of guys weren't waking up.
But they're
that.
Fine. You're not killing anybody. You're Batman.
Yeah, well, all right. Spinal. Fine. Whatever. Whatever you got to tell yourself to get to sleep at night. Uh-huh. I know a couple of those thugs were leaving orphans at Christmas.
they died off camera.
For sure. Yeah. But Batman himself is, you know, like, he's such an iconic character, and it feels cool to beat the shit out of people as Batman. Whereas in Shadow of War, the Nemesis system is such a cool mechanic. Or system that, like, that part of it is intriguing. Even the combos and powers you have are really fun to wield.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I don't care about that character at all.
Nope.
And so it never feel, I don't ever feel connected the way I do that I clearly would to Batman.
So I wish that they had taken all of the mechanics of Shadow of War and made Mad Max 2.
That would be great.
Yep.
With like his sawed off shotgun and give him like a wrench or something to club people in the fucking brain pan yeah. with.
But add in all of that Nemesis shit to a fucking Mad Max game.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Humongous yeah.
Holy
on top.
Shit. Because yeah. it's the same thing. It's just random fucked up dudes trying to kill you,
oh,
you know?
Oh, man, that does.
And it's a Warner Brothers game, and they're all the same. It's Batman, it's Mad Max. They've all got that combat system in them. It's just the Lord of the Rings property laid over the top of it is just not interesting to me at all. It's fun. The game's fun. But I don't give a shit about the world of it at all. Like, it could just literally be anything else. And it would be just as good, but I feel like if it was, you know, Mad Max or some other property, it would be better.
Yeah, we have fallen on dark times when things like the world of Destiny 2 feels more real and convincing and more engaging
than Lord of the Rings.
Than anything.
Yeah.
That anything yeah. is worse.
Well, get you some Wolfenstein in a couple of days and you'll have a new story. Yeah. Oh,
there you
to
go.
Get into.
Man, it's just coming out at the wrong time. I don't want to.
Everything's coming out at the wrong time. I feel like I've never been busier in my life, and it's just fucking tons of good video games out right now.
I don't. I mean, we're going to be ashamedly talking about some really great games like 2 months from now. Like, hey, did you guys check out that Wolfenstein? That was all right. Anyway.
Game of the year is going to be a pain in the ass. Like it, the same problem we had last year where I'm glad that we all have kind of differing tastes on some things because we get more good games on our game of the year list because of that, because we just don't all have time to play everything. So that's a plus. But I always feel bad every year because there's, you know, last year I feel like there was a bunch of good games that we just left off, but none of us played them because we just didn't have time.
Yep.
So, and this year I think it's going to be even worse. There's just been tons of good games this year. It's going to be hard to pick 10.
Oh, God, yeah. That's going to be a tough list. All right, so let's take a break, and then when we return, John Dolan with the hottest of the hot news.
Sounds good.
Looking for something different in your podcast library? Then why not check out the podcast Under the Stairs? I'm the host, Duncan McLeish, and joining me each week will be a special guest as we examine some classic, old-school horror favourites, as well as some modern classics. That's not to say that we don't tackle some of the, let's say, more questionable entries into the horror genre. And if all that wasn't enough, we have a subset of shows called Baz v Horror, where our horror novice, The Baz, tackles horror in all shapes and forms to see who will come out victorious. So what are you waiting for? The show can be found at podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com and on Stitcher and iTunes. The Podcast Under the Stairs is a proud member of Legion Podcast Network. This is Duncan McLeish from Under the Stairs, signing off.
When you hear that sound, you know it's time for one thing, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the news with John Dolan.
Burp.
Yeah.
Burp noise.
Burp noise. Gonna edit in some just massive, like, booger burp from Revenge of the Nerds right there or something.
I'll try to get that very one.
I'm sure it's available.
Sure. Yeah. YouTube is a wonderful place.
Yep. News. We got news.
We do have news.
We'll just start right off with the Destiny 2 stuff. There's been some bannings that are a little strange. Apparently a bunch of PC players would sign into the game and would just get banned for what they could determine was no reason. People were attributing it to the fact that in the Destiny beta on PC, they said that you were not allowed to use games that did things like put overlays on the game, like OBS, which people use for broadcasting, Discord, XSplit, because Bungie was saying people could use those games to insert code into the game and cheat. So they were not allowing those. They've since apparently rolled back a bunch of these bans because they said, sorry. But it's it like the kind of the all the surrounding parts of it are really strange. People are just saying like I wasn't using one of these things, or people who were saying I was using one of these things, but they were using NVIDIA, like the NVIDIA overlay, what's it called, GeForce, to do things like have a frame counter on their game or whatever, broadcast, record, those types of things. I don't understand why Bungie doesn't want to allow that stuff. Like, isn't it like kind of a given by now that having your game broadcast on Twitch is like super good marketing for your game?
Well, the update to the article, John,
yeah,
does say, like, they were like, no, those third-party overlays are fine. We banned those people for another fucked-up reason that was a mistake. It wasn't that.
That we're not going to tell you. Yeah, and that's what they're saying, but it's like, and then they go on to say, you can't get banned unless an employee of Bungie bans you after they determine that you were doing something bad.
But sounds like some new guy.
But yeah, but if that's, yeah, exactly. If that's the case, then why did these people get banned and then unbanned? Like, by your own admission, you feverishly investigate every possible cheater before you ban them, but you totally didn't do that. So they were saying, oh, well, it doesn't do it automatically, which is what people were saying. And then there were reports of people who were banned would say, I turned the game on, it went to the loading screen, and I got banned. How is that not automatic? So there's something weird going on. It may just be some bug that they don't want to own up to or something, but who knows? So watch yourself out there, yeah. Destiny enthusiasts.
Keep your head on a swivel, Destiny 2 PC players.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what's going on with that. Like, it's totally unclear what is happening. The last update that I could find was October 25th, which was yesterday, so... they did tweet out today, upon further review of our PC security measures, some bans have been overturned. Great. Like, how about some details? So, I don't know. Like, you're just leaving an opening for negative marketing around your game. So why not just... And maybe they don't know what happened. I don't know. So,
but it seems fairly local. Like... It seems like there was the initial problem, and it doesn't seem to be happening widespread.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it affected a whole bunch of people, but apparently their message boards blew up for a while, so...
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Like, the people who were most excited to play Destiny 2...
Were on there as soon as it unlocked yesterday, and some of them got banned, yeah.
Right, so of course they blew up the message board. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I actually trust Bungie and EA not to fuck up the PC release of Destiny.
Because it's a big deal. You know, it's the first time it's been on PC, and here you are opening it up to a fucking huge audience of people who would probably love to play a game like that, you know, who don't own a console. They're just strictly PC, so... That's all new money as far as they're concerned, so don't mess that shit up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right, that's all on that. That's weird. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully it's nothing.
Hopefully nothing. If it's not, we will storm the gates at EA.
Nah.
And we will make someone pay.
I'll just play something else.
Or that. Probably that.
Yeah, that.
I mentioned a little bit about Shadow of War loot boxes. Apparently when you boot that game, and I saw this when I booted it up, but you have to agree to their terms, and you have to agree to play online, which will engage you with the loot box store where you can pay actual real money to get upgrades. And we didn't really get into that very much. It's been all around the news, but it's basically... when you get to the end of kind of the main game, there's this period where in order to progress, you need to have like legendary orcs on your side that you've converted over to your side in order to kind of compete. And you can play the game and eventually these things will drop, but apparently it just fucking takes forever. So at the end of the game, there is a grind that lasts a very long time that you can pass by with real money. One of the things you can do when you get to the very beginning of the game, when you first boot it up, is you can say, I don't want to go online. And it will give you a warning that says, if you go offline, you won't be able to engage with the store where we will take your money for upgrades that are impossible to grind for. And then you can just play the game offline and none of that store shit will show up. So what people have been doing is using Cheat Engine to just give themselves infinite amounts of cash, essentially making themselves invincible in the game, and they just kind of pass by the loot boxes entirely. They can't cheat. So this is another one of these multiple currency bullshit things. They can't cheat the premium currency, which is what you use to buy loot boxes, but you can cheat the in-game currency, which you can use for, you know, lower tier purchases.
But they're doing that offline.
They're doing that offline, yes.
Okay.
Because I think if you use Cheat Engine online, I think you will get busted and banned. I don't have any confirmation of that, but I would only assume that that's being looked at. So,
to me, it seems more like this is just like, you know, you play Elder Scrolls or Morrowind and you type in a console command.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, a bunch of money.
Yep.
And
like games
you're
used
not
to
playing
be.
That game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like games used to be. And I guess if you were online, it totally makes sense that you shouldn't be able to game that system, so...
Yeah, but even... Like... That's the weird thing about, like, modern games. Like, who does that hurt? Them, because they don't get your money, but you can't get the premium shit by cheating anyway.
Right.
So, whatever. And that wasn't even really the thing for me. What I did find out after reading this article and doing a little research is... Cheat Engine is apparently a great way to really kind of poke and prod at the Nemesis system and all of kind of the underlying mechanics of this game and just kind of do whatever you want. Apparently, you can give yourself tons of followers immediately and just have a super army, or you can generate orcs that have traits that have been 100% specified by you. That sounds kind of fun. Like, I feel like maybe when I get sick of this game, I'm going to download Cheat Engine and just kind of fuck around with the systems in it and see what kind of mayhem I can create. So, one thing you can't do, I may have to like reload it or something, is once you have agreed to the terms to play online, you can't unagree to that, which is a little
lame. Yeah. I get that. It's like you can't go backseas on a mortgage.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you can, but you'll be sleeping in a box.
Right.
Start a new character and do it, right?
Yeah, I think you can just...
Assume
like,
a new identity? Is that what you
mean? What you do is you steal an orc's identity in the game. When he's, like, you know, at the bank with his social security card out, you look over his shoulder.
You call him up.
Yeah.
You act like you're from the bank.
That's right.
Tell him someone tried to access his account.
If you can just give us your password.
Verification.
Well, you sign them all up for Equifax.
And orcs are fucking stupid, so you know they're going to do it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the like all the torch heads aside, not great business people, the orcs.
Nope. So that's interesting. Shadow War is a weird thing. There's already just tons of controversy lately about loot boxes and games. And that was something I didn't talk about earlier, was how I came about purchasing Middle Earth Shadow of War. I saw that the prices on the marketplace on Steam for my PUBG Twitch gear that I got for free by linking my Twitch account to PUBG, the prices on that shit spiked. And I sold all of my Twitch gear for about $26. And put that towards the purchase of Shadow of War.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I basically got the game for half price. So.
Oh, man.
All because of some fake clothes.
Some fake shit that I got by clicking a couple buttons. I got a half price on a brand new game. So, yeah. Thanks, PUBG.
That's a promotion I can get behind.
Yeah, that's your PUBG minute right there.
Oh, no, it's not.
Nah, we'll get to it.
But... I like that we're talking about the loot boxes here, because the next story is a horrifying vision of things to come.
Yeah, so this is on PCGamer.com. The article is called "Microtransactions and DLC Have Tripled the Value of the Game Industry." This shit's not going away. It never will go away, because it makes way more money for an industry that's always struggled to make money.
My only hope is that one day it will gain the stigma that a free-to-play game has. Where, like, if there are paid loot boxes in a game, everyone that's in, you know, there's only like a certain crowd of people that sort of gravitate towards those games. You know, like, there are people who have money and are willing to shove money into a game to be better than people at it, you know, to make it easier for them to be better. That's always going to exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's monetized cheating to a very small degree in some instances.
You know, I think the interesting thing about it to me is the business side of it, of saying, you know, I was reading deeper into some of that stuff, and they were talking about how game prices, in terms of base price of a game, haven't gone up in a long, long time. It's been around $60 for many, many years. And if they try to raise it, then people are going to lose their shit. But if they're getting that money on the back end, ain't nobody the wiser, you know? So it's ostensibly, like when EA releases Battlefront 2, and they're, or well, Destiny 2 is a great example of this as well, because, you know, my buddy Ian, when he was asking me about the PlayStation version to get, he was like, well, you know, there's the one that's 60, and then there's the one that's 80, and then there's one that's 100. And I was like, just get the $60 one, man. Like, all that gear is worthless 2 hours into the game.
Yeah, and you might get sick of the game before you get to the content that would be what you're paying for there. So,
right.
Like, don't buy the season pass, because if you're like me and you don't have tons of time to play games, by the time you get to the point where you're going to want to engage with the content in a season pass, it's probably half price. So just don't buy it up front. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I'm a big believer in that as well. But again, from the business point of view, it's kind of genius. It's the way to raise the price of your game without technically raising the price of your game.
Yeah.
And now, whether the DLC and all that stuff is worth it, like, there's a story coming up that maybe begs that question, but you know, I think it's an okay way to go about it, as opposed to, because that's the other solution, right? Like, cost of living keeps going up, something's got to give, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole pay to win part is where I fall apart on it.
It's when it's implementation,
when it's cosmetic, I got no problem with it. Charge whatever you want for that shit. Horse armor that's $100, I don't care. I'm not going to buy it, but some idiot will. Like, he'll think that's totally worth it, and that's fine. Like, that's a decision that a consumer can make about themselves. But as soon as, you know, somebody dumping money into a game starts to affect me and my experience with the game, that's when it crosses the line. Don't fuck with my game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think cosmetics are fine. Nah. It's the, even if you want to do like a fucking XP boost or whatever, like, shit I never use.
And I don't have a problem with that either, because, like, so I'm a person who doesn't have a lot of time to play games, and I jam them in wherever I can. And if there's something that I really like and I want to see later game content or be powerful so I can do things in the game that I just don't have time to grind out, paying money for that is fine. That's fine.
Totally into, like, oh, if I throw $10 at this game, I get a couple of these boosts, and it not only helps me, but it helps the people I'm playing with even better. It makes me feel even better about doing it. Yeah. I think when I got Battlefield 4, I bought some crazy edition that came with a bunch of boosts for free, and I had a lot of fun just, like, squatting up with random people and then just turning that on, and they would, you know, they would actually type in the chat, oh, thanks, you know, like, you know, they're getting 50% extra XP, you know, every game.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Now, there's it's victimless at that point, but, you know, when it's my guy is more powerful than you because I paid more money, that sucks.
Right. And I think that there's going to be a line for that. And I think that is the line, is if I can pay to be better. Well, you know, did we talk about it last week? The patent that EA was looking at about, like, the matchmaking?
No, we didn't talk about that. Yeah.
But I think it's relevant to this conversation, certainly, about microtransactions, where they are either requested a patent or licensed or submitted for a patent on the concept of, in matchmaking, PvP matchmaking, intentionally matching you against someone who's got a weapon
that you might like,
the kind of it wasn't clear whether that meant they were going to be leveled higher than you or more powerful than you. Yeah. But certainly was like, hey, this person might like this. And if they see somebody killing them with it, they're going to want to go for those microtransactions a little bit more. And that, to me, that's some real dark Orwellian shit.
Yeah.
I'm not on board for that even a little bit. I think that stuff should be, you know, stamped out before it has a chance to take hold. But when done well, I'm okay with it. You know,
there's some weird shit around loot boxes where, like, the Chinese government forced, I think it was Overwatch at the time, to surface the odds of the loot that you would get out of boxes, because they said this is basically gambling, which it totally is. Blind loot boxes are 100% gambling. And eventually, I feel like in the United States, you know, government entities are going to catch on to the fact that that's totally gambling, and they're going to either put a stop to it or figure out a way to regulate it or, like, tax it in a different way or something. Like, it's not going to last like that for very long before the government wants their cut of that money. I don't know. But loot crates are, it's weird. Like, for a single thing to have so many different ways that it can be implemented, some of which are super gross and some of which are like, that's fine. It's just a weird concept. And I don't want to justify it anyway, but I used to have to just put a quarter in every time I wanted to play a fucking game. So it costs money every time, you know? It's weird.
Right, yeah.
Coming from that age where I probably spent way more money playing video games than I do now.
Right, because you give us 240 quarters, and you can play this forever.
Yeah,
right.
So it's kind of, I'm complaining about something I used to do just freely because that was just the way it was, and then it got away from that where you paid for a game and it was a complete thing right out of the box, and then the internet happens, and now the game isn't complete when you pull it out of the box. You have to get an update, and then also here's some more content that actually costs more, so you didn't really buy the whole game. Like, there's all of those arguments, that whole, you know, the life cycle of the video game industry has just been this weird evolution, and it's almost like it's just turning back around to its roots with loot crates. Like, no, you gotta fucking pay to play again, you know? It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, there's a story coming up that I think touches on this as well, with the Hitman stuff.
Yes. Hitman is releasing a Game of the Year edition now that, what's the name of the studio?
IO,
yes. They bought themselves from Square Enix, I guess is the easiest way to say it. And now they have announced that they're releasing this Game of the Year edition, and it has some additional content in it, but it costs $20, even if you already own the full version of the game. From what I read, it doesn't sound like they're adding a whole ton of stuff to this. $20 seems a little steep.
Well, I'm not sure. They said there's going to be a graphical overhaul in general.
Yep, and some new story stuff. So, and right. Game's so fucking good, it's probably worth it. But the thing that was really interesting to me was kind of what we've been talking about previously on the show, where they're going to make some of the unique content that was timed, like the elusive targets, they're going to bring back kind of like the greatest hits of that, so people can replay those, which I think is a really good idea. Because that was some of the best stuff in the game for me. So,
yeah, and it's four new missions, even though it's in current locations. They're not building a new map.
Yeah. But, and the gist I got from this is kind of like, hey, these IO or whoever owns this IP now, and Square Enix basically got most of the money from this game already.
Yeah.
We're going to put a little update out, put it on sale.
Get some cash.
Get it to some people who maybe haven't played it already. Maybe some people who've already bought it will buy it again. I feel like if you understand the situation in this game and what's going on,
yeah,
you might just throw them $20. And
I mean, if ever there was a game to support with a little extra cash to make sure that they can keep making great games like this one, this is one of those. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you're really just keeping Hitman alive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost a Kickstarter for season two.
It really kind of feels like that.
Yeah. And I'm all right with that. Like, I play the shit out of the current state of it. So.
And the Elusive Target rerun is just a good idea.
That's brilliant. Yep. Like I said, that was some of the most fun I had. Like, there was a real... I think it'll lose just a little bit because there won't be the element of this is a limited time thing, and if you don't do it, it's gone forever. But they were so much fun anyway that, you know, it gets your heart rate pumping. It was one of those, this kind of means something. Like, there was a fail state to it that was permanent. That, and maybe they'll figure out a way to make that still there, but... yeah, more Hitman. Like, that's overall, this is fucking great news. So,
yeah. I think the argument about, you know, when DLC can be a bit exploitative, and I think you can make the case for that with this Hitman update, but as you know, we've been saying, it really is just a vote of confidence in, like, hey man, here's $20. How about some more of that Hitman?
Like, you just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I would feel upset about it if Hitman hadn't been such a complete thing already. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't feel like I got cheated at all. Like, I feel like I got way more than my money's worth out of, you know, what constitutes the original release of that game. So
you want to hit me up for $20 quarterly, and we might be okay with that.
Just keep the content rolling, man. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of goes along with this, the last article too. I don't know if it was in there or if it was something I kind of linked to out of that one, but it was discussing games as a service is kind of the new thing, where because they're not going to raise the price of the game to $60, the trend is kind of leaning towards we release less games than we used to, but we support them with extra content for longer than we used to. So there's the upfront $60, and here's some more content, and here's some more content. And that's essentially what Destiny is going for as well. So
it does seem like that's the natural progression, the way things have been going already.
Yeah. And some games do it in a cosmetic-only way, like Rocket League. That has tons of new content constantly. There's new maps, but those are free. But, like, if you want a cool car, that costs money. And then there's right down to here's some new missions, like... There's a lot of different ways to do it, and, you know, certainly there will be people that enter into that style of, you know, producing Seems their product that you know, it's going to be a little grosser than other ones, but
creating a platform these days is the sort of a more important thing, or a more lucrative thing, I guess.
I think it's pretty smart. Like, with Hitman, like, the last Hitman wasn't that great, and they just kind of bottled up a little, you know, magic with this one. And people still enjoy it. So when you kind of get a formula that works, like, I see, like, you know, PUBG doing something like that, where the core is there, that's great. But here's another thing to add on to that, and here's another thing. And you're not changing it with the new, you know, 3 years later, here's the new Hitman, but, oh, here's all the shit that's different about it. It's the core game is the same, but we're adding things to that you can, you know, play on top, I guess, is... Seems like a smart play.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, that once like Microsoft Office and Microsoft in general was like, yeah, we're going to be on a recurring license now. It seems like more and more, just software companies, not just games, software in general. It's just going towards that.
Adobe.
Like, Adobe,
oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $1,000 for the Creative Suite, but I can give you $30 a month and have access to it all. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happily, yeah. we'll toss you $30 for the 1 month I want to use, you know, Premiere or Photoshop.
And that's the distinct, like, and obviously they're making more money doing it that way than they ever were when they were charging, you know, crazy cat. I mean, I remember when I was a graphic designer, like the student version of Photoshop, Illustrator, and Premiere was $699. That's nuts. You know, and that was fucking shit 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And you want $700 for this fucking piece of software? Nope. To the internet.
Not gonna happen. Yeah. Yep.
So it's interesting. Like, there's just so many, like, all of this is just kind of up in the air, and everybody's kind of trying to find the right way to do this stuff. But, you know, another $20 for some more Hitman is, that's not too much to ask.
Nope. I'm good with it.
I wish it was cheaper, but that's apparently what they think it's worth. So, and it's yet another one of those things. Like, I can wait and it'll go on sale. So,
sure. I mean, it's all like, if it appeals to you, great. If not, like, you know, if you want to help out the good folks at IO, them scrappy game developers buying themselves, pulling themselves up by their bootstraps to make you another Hitman game.
Yeah.
If you feel like that's worth $20, great. If you don't, that's great too.
Yeah.
But if the studio collapses, don't be like, man, I wish I had another Hitman game.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with your point on that. You're right. I should pay $20 for Hitman.
I'm playing devil's advocate, John. What I really think. No.
Yeah.
I like those guys. I that whole story to me feels like, you know, local kid done good to, you know, that kind of heartwarming story of like, we do this game, everybody loves it, it's a success, and then our company's like, nope, we're gonna shut her down.
Yeah, but good on Square Enix for working with them so that they could continue on and not like just selling them off piecemeal or some shit. Or
We can be okay with that later. You're fucking up my narrative. And then IO challenged them to a duel.
Yeah, right. they took out their sling and put a rock in it and
Felled
and the giant
Jerry Square Enix directly in the forehead.
It's biblical. It's a biblical tale. That's Hitman.
Yeah, that's worth $20.
Yeah.
You don't like the Bible for $20? Is that what you're telling me, listeners?
Take the Bible for $20. Alex?
Yeah, the answer is Deuteronomy.
Mm. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go into it.
I know.
I'm not going to start quoting lines from Running Scared. I'm not going to do it.
That's for our sidecast.
Yes.
Potting Scared.
We talk about 80s movies that we know all the lines from.
Right.
It's a really good show.
Just watch Midnight Run and Running Scared and Lethal Weapon.
And occasionally we snuggle down under the covers and we watch Ghost. Because everybody loves Patrick Swayze.
Sure. Yeah. It's weird when you break out the clay, but you know.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
It got weird that one time.
Well, it got weird for you one time.
It got really weird, but it was just one time.
Granted, you guys only did it that one time.
But that was super weird. All right.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Minutes.
Yeah, PUBG.
Pass. This is kind of old news. It happened a week or two ago, kind of right after the last show. They passed 2 million concurrent players, which I believe was a record on...
Probably.
At least on Steam, it certainly was. And then I didn't have the article here. I forgot to link it, but there was also a story last week about how PUBG had surpassed League of Legends in fucking Korea as the most popular game.
Wow.
This game is crazy. Unfortunately, with all that added attention, hackers are apparently becoming a very serious problem.
I don't recall that ever happening to a early access game before.
Yeah, I can't think of an example that we talk about way too often on this show.
Yeah, nothing leaping in mind.
Yeah. Speed hackers We talked previously about loot crate farmers, where they would just boot into the game, but apparently now it's kind of, they've ratcheted it up a notch where they're not no longer satisfied with just idling out of the game and getting the minimum amount of points that they can then use to buy loot, which they can sell on the Steam store. Now they are just straight up speed hacking and aimbotting and killing, you know, 40, 50 players a game from across the map with zero effort, and then getting the big coin payout, which they then buy more loot with, which they sell. Like, there's some serious ass problems. This story was also from like a week ago, so it's probably even worse by now. But PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds announced that they were banning up to 13,000 players every day. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. That 400 people banned by Destiny 2 doesn't seem like nothing now, does it?
No. So let's just hop over to the Steam store stats page. And we're going to go down the view the top 100 games. I'm going to go down until I see something lower than 13,000. Path of Exile peak today was 15,000 players playing that game.
That ain't nothing.
Middle Earth Shadow of War, 18,000 players playing that game at its peak today. That's a brand new game that just fucking came out, and almost as many people got banned from PUBG as are playing that game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Gotta just be like, I mean, essentially, you can farm real money out of this game. You know, I mean.
Yeah. And there's an argument, like, our loot creates a fucking problem, like, when you start to, especially when you start to make it as something that's a real money exchange.
Yeah.
This shit is just bound to happen. So, and from what I've read, one of the major problems, like, there's no way Bluehole could have predicted this game would blow up the way that it did and get this popular this fast. And they obviously were not prepared for this level of hacking. Just, I don't know how else to put it. Like,
yeah, I mean, but how could you be?
No, and that's it. Like, I'm trying to give them, you know, a little bit of a pass, but, and apparently they're working on it. Like, they've certainly got the scratch to make this problem go away, but from what I understand, a lot of hit detection and who shot who is all done client-side. And so, like, if you're shooting at somebody and they shoot at you at the exact same time, both of your clients communicate with each other to determine who shot first.
And sends so it to the server. The server goes, is that even possible?
Yep.
And then if the math checks out, it should do it. But
because it's done client-side, like, speed hacking is just a matter of adjusting your game. And then to the other players, it just appears like you're moving across the map faster. And certainly they can detect that because they're using BattleEye. And when we used to run a DayZ server, people got fucking banned for speed hacking all the time.
Yeah, I get a report.
Yep.
It was like, this player moved 5 miles in...
Yeah, in 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
That's not possible.
Yeah,
can't. So, I mean, A, this game's crazy popular. There's 2.1 million people playing it on Steam today at the peak. There's currently almost 300,000 people playing it.
I'll tell you why I'm not too upset about this. I hadn't played a game of PUBG in probably a month.
And
if people are saying, you know, if all these streamers are running into hackers all the time, I'll just wait till they say, hey, we fixed sorted it, most of that out.
Yeah, like, for a game that we were playing, like, every night for a while, I haven't played it in quite a while either. Like, a bunch of other games came out, and I just kind of forgot to play PUBG. Like, it's still a great game, but I just haven't had the, you know,
the appeal. Yeah, it has the appeal, though, that you can do that. You know, it's not like you're leveling up your character and making them better. It's just, you know, is that the kind of game you want to play right now?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, there's all this other stuff out. I can take a break from that.
Yeah. I still would like to play some PUBG, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd also like to play some Destiny, and I'd like to play some more Middle Earth, and I'd like to play some fucking Zelda Breath of the Wild and some more Cuphead, and...
I know.
It's tough being me.
I know. And like I said, that Mario game looks kind of cool.
It does. It does look cool. So, yeah, this is a solvable problem, I think, but it's certainly compounded by the fact that there's just so many goddamn people playing this game that it's, like...
Right, how could there not be a ton of cheating?
Yeah, and it's a nice problem to have when, we banned 13,000 people today, but whatever, you know.
But we're still pulling down a couple mil. Everybody cool down. It's going to be all right.
So, I mean... The popularity of this game and the money that it is generating, I have faith that they will work very, very hard to solve this problem. Otherwise, the game will fucking die. Like, what's that game we were just talking about a minute ago?
Yeah, some with zombies.
Yeah, I don't remember. I included the little Dr. Disrespect video there just kind of for your guys' reference so you could see it in action. But he, a famous streamer of PUBG... had a video that he posted of somebody speed hacking, and it's kind of fucking comical. The best part of that video is that they fucking killed a guy. So even though the dude was speed hacking, they were still able to take him out of the game, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, PUBG. That's your PUBG 10 minutes.
All right.
This was a story that happened right after our last show as well. Oculus Rift cut the price of their standard unit down to $399, and I believe that comes with the it does. It comes with the, what are they called, the touch controllers?
Yeah.
And that's,
I mean, good on them. Get more people buying that shit. Let's get some better games, some bigger games.
Yeah.
They also announced that they are releasing a product called the Oculus Rift Go, which is an all-in-one unit. Does not require a computer to hook up. It's essentially like kind of a Gear VR or, you know, one of the ones that you'd like stick your phone in. Apparently it's dedicated, so it's a bit more powerful than that.
But nowhere near a Oculus Rift level.
No.
You know, you're not playing those games. You're not getting anything like that.
Yeah. But
you're getting Gear VR stuff.
Yeah, but it's half the price of the current new lower price of the regular Oculus Rift, $199 for this self system. So, and there's some advantages to it. It's wireless, not a bunch of shit hanging off your head while you're trying to play. Certainly, like you're saying, you won't be able to play games that are as good, but
right, better than Gear, not as good as Rift or Vive.
You can probably watch movies in it, which is pretty awesome. I would say that's a plus. If you travel a lot and it's lightweight and you take it on an airplane and you want to watch a movie on a big screen.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. Certainly a step in the right direction. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it's headed. Eventually, we'll get there with the real thing.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to just kind of be overall a more appealing product to the masses. So this is a moneymaker. $200 is... You know, anybody who's interested in VR will probably be willing to part with $200 if, you know, the quality of the games is comparable. Probably not on par with, but, you know, decent. So it's a good proof of concept. Like, this is, like you're saying, all of them are eventually headed in this direction where it's a freestanding, you know. You'll be... The holy grail is a wireless version of the, you know, the heavy-duty...
Right.
Vive.
To that, we got to get to this. And
yep.
Like, yep. I'm not particularly interested in this product for myself. I'm glad it exists. I hope it does well. I want it to be the stepping stone to the thing I really do want, which is the Jordy visor that just takes me to another world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
I would love so much to get on an airplane with a little Jordy visor and be able to be on my like island oasis while
just
I have to check
the fuck
sit
out
in the middle seat. You know, like it would just make everything so much more pleasant for me.
Yeah, I don't want to look at all these fucking State Fair rejects that are on the plane with me. Take me away.
The last time I flew, I had to sit in the middle seat, and when I was going to sit down, the lady. Who was sitting in the aisle was like, I would like to sit in the aisle. I like to hydrate. Did I tell a story about?
No,
this does not sound familiar.
So, you know,
to hydrate. There,
yeah. So I think, you know, like hydrate, like she's got like a big water bottle, right? She's gonna drink a lot of water. So like we get up in the air and like 10 or 15 minutes in, I hear a Ziploc bag unzip And like 2 or 3 minutes later, it's just pepper smell. And she's just sitting there eating. She has like a quart bag of chopped up green peppers. And for like the next hour and 15 minutes, she just munching devours, green just devours this Ziploc bag full of chopped up green peppers raw.
And like, I like peppers, but that's a lot.
Yeah, and I just like hate that smell. It's just, ugh. And I'm just like, why would you do that? Why would you bring that on an airplane? Why would you, of all the things?
How'd you get that shit past security?
Well, you can take food past security. You just can't take liquids past security. You can make a ham cheese sandwich as long as you don't have any kind of gelatinous liquid on it and through security.
That's a fault in the security system because there's liquid in those peppers. She admitted she's hydrating right, with those
that's
things.
That's true.
That's a loophole, man. Donald Trump's got to button that shit up.
Yeah. Finally, right. Someone who's going to do something.
And if ever there was something that he would do something about, bringing bags of peppers on airplanes seems like
in, in the tyranny of the bell pepper.
Travel ban on bell peppers. That's what we need. Okay. It's your Donald Trump minute.
There you go.
Like we needed another minute. Microsoft has killed Kinect. It is dead. They're not going to make it anymore. I wasn't aware they were still making them.
I mean, it's kind of weirdly a bummer.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that was a really interesting and seemingly pretty good product.
It's a precursor to VR.
Yeah, but nobody ever figured out what the fuck to do with that thing.
Yeah.
I watch some pretty horrible TV, and one of them is a ghost reality show. And there's a person who makes all these really stupid devices to, like, find ghosts. And a whole bunch of them use the Kinect sensor. And I'm talking, like, the dude straight up just, like, hot glues it on top of, like, a box, you know, and has it hooked up to, like, a little monitor. And it's supposedly detecting, you know, the T-pose shape of ghosts out of, you know, a pitch black room. So as soon as I read this article, I was like, oh no, old Bill Chappell's going to be, where's he going to get his Kinects now? You know, like, how's he going to keep making those SLS cameras?
I imagine going to any Goodwill.
Yeah, right, right.
It's probably going to be your ticket.
The Kinect is going to be the Logitech keyboard of the 20 teens.
Yeah, or the
the PS2 band. Logitech keyboard. Yeah, the Rock Band guitar.
They're just like, we ain't taking these anymore. But I don't know what to. I can't just carry it around with me the rest of my life, and we ain't buying.
And don't put it in the dumpster out back. We're tired of throwing that shit away.
Right.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note in this article that the company was bought out by Apple, and now that essentially the technology is just on the front of your the new iPhone.
Yeah,
like it is the iPhone X cameras are just a Kinect.
Yeah, then this, like I said, this is a precursor to VR, but this is a direct precursor to the Microsoft HoloLens. Like this is, you know, informed that technology. Yeah. So. It's one of those progressive steps towards what we're ultimately looking for. I never used a Kinect. I can't speak to how well it worked or anything. Like it was
me either.
Another one of those peripherals where I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then, oh, that's expensive. Nope. So, but it's no more. If you want one, go get one now. Cause they're Kablooey. Not going to be around. Yeah.
Yeah. Good news for ghosts, I guess.
They can roam around free,
finally
being molested by Microsoft Kinects.
Yeah. Like, oh, that was close, guys. I think a few people almost saw us.
I thought this next story was really interesting, just as like kind of a thought experiment. And then finding out that if you die, you can't transfer your Steam account to somebody. There is no method to do that, and it is expressly disallowed under the terms of service that you agree to when you have a Steam account. So if you've got a huge library and you want to put in your will that when I die, my kids or significant other or brother or somebody can have access to my thing, you actually can't legally do that. What you could do is just totally give me your password, and you know, Steam would be, Valve would be none the wiser. But it's weird. It illustrates that, like I was kind of talking about games as a service, like you don't really own any of these games. You own a license to play this game.
Well,
you do, not a transferable license either.
Yeah, I mean, I can play Arma without Steam being open.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah, what you're saying is I can't just take that. But it's also kind of the whole concept is like, I don't want to go to a store and buy a box and have a CD and have to install it and have all that stuff. That is sort of the price of admission. Even without reading a terms of service, I just kind of assume up front that, you know, this exists as long as I'm using it. And that's really it, you know.
The Section C of the Steam subscriber agreement says your account, including any information pertaining to it, e.g. contact information, billing information, account history and subscriptions, etc., is strictly personal. You may therefore not sell or charge others for the right to use your account or otherwise transfer your account, nor may you sell, charge others for the right to use or transfer any subscriptions. And this is getting all legalese on, but you get the point here. It's as otherwise specifically permitted by Valve. So it's...
But I'm sure, like, you know, iTunes is the same way, Amazon Video is the same way, like, any of those services.
Yeah, and that was kind of the first time I ever heard of something like this was it Bruce Willis that tried to, like, sue so that he could pass his iTunes library onto his kids or something like that? Like, it was some weird... I think it was.
Put it on an iPod.
Not Bruno.
So it's like kind of a non-issue in a way, because you could just, like, what is Steam going to do? Start invalidating Steam accounts that are like over 100 years old?
Are they trying to call you? You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, you still playing that stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are you?
It's a weird thing to think about that, like, someday. Like, and it's like with all your box copies of old games, like eventually all these games will be so fucking old that nobody will want to play them anyway. So it kind of becomes a moot point, but I don't know. Steam's making me think about my mortality.
Yeah. That's not why you go to games. You're going there for escape. And now you're confronted with the idea that once you die, there simply just won't be a you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think I feel about as bad about it as I will when I'm dead.
That's true.
Like, right.
You know what I mean?
Which is zero amount.
Yeah, in fairness, like, yeah, how could you possibly care? Because you can't.
Yeah.
Dead.
Like, I'll be toiling away in purgatory going, I didn't transfer my account to my son. Eternity is hell.
You're eternally receiving the two-factor authentication code from Steam, but it's just not the right one.
I went to the bad place. I am just clicking subscriber agreements and EULAs for eternity.
So, yeah, interesting thing to think about. Our last story is my favorite time that I have ever forced a conversation about EVE Online into this podcast. Because I do that pretty often, and I'll fully admit sometimes it's not the most interesting conversation. I find it interesting, but this is fucking gold. So EVE Online, you can use real money to buy things in that game. You can buy a Plex Pass, and you can convert it into ISK, which is the in-game currency, and you can use that to buy ships or commodities, whatever you want to do. So one of the users of EVE Online, Mr. Tim Ellington, I don't know if that's an in-game name or not, decided one day to become an amateur porn star. And by using, I believe it was Pornhub, yes, has a function where, as an amateur porn enthusiast, you can upload your own videos of yourself or of you and other people performing sex acts. And much like YouTube, you can get paid for it. And Mr. Tim Ellington enjoyed playing Eve so much that he decided to use that as an avenue to pay for his Eve habit and excel his meteoric rise in that game to kind of a player in the shipping industry in Eve. So what Mr. Ellington does is he uploads solo male videos of himself masturbating to Pornhub and makes like $350. Was it a month? I can't remember what the article said.
I'm looking at it because there is a line in this article that is maybe my favorite thing I've ever read.
There's some good shit in it. So this is on PCGamer.com. How an Eve player is funding his spaceship business by making amateur porn is the title of it. It's a great read because there's a lot of great innuendo in the writing in this article.
Yes.
Like paragraph titles such as A Stroke of Genius. Risky Business was a personal favorite.
That's pretty good.
Amateur Hour. Yeah. Good stuff in here.
Tim is a single adult male. And said he initially decided to start doing this as possibly a way to meet women. And his ultimate goal is to perhaps find someone who would like to perform on Pornhub with him. And then he can get a bigger market and make even more money, which he will dump into Play Eve Online. Should we get into what he does with it in Eve? Is that interesting to you guys?
I don't know. I mean, that's the fact that he's getting checks from jerking it on camera. I mean, I think that's the...
I believe the logistics of shipping are pale in comparison to what's going on in real life with this guy.
Yeah.
It's so, just like...
Here is a line when, you know, he's talking about his time before the camera. And he says, things weren't really working out with relationships. And I realized I had a natural talent and didn't have stage fright or webcams. And I thought, how can I apply this? Like, just the path of logic of, like, you know what I'm great at? Masturbation.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much
on camera specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid to be on camera.
I mean, that's the skill set for porn.
Yeah. How can I put one and one together to make porn, you know, Eve Online money?
It's a shame it took him this long to figure this out.
It's, you know, God bless him, man. I really have no issue with that. Like, if somebody's willing, if you don't have a problem with cranking it to strangers on the internet, and they have an interest in seeing you crank it, then, you know, by all means, go forth and crank.
Win-win.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, some of the porn stuff, it seems real lurid. You know, like the movie shoots where there's a lot of coke rolling around and stuff like that. Like, all of that seems kind of sad.
Yeah.
This is just a guy who is like, you know what I like to do? Play Eve. I like to do?
While I'm playing Eve, because sometimes it takes a super long time to fly around in my essentially 18-wheeler hauling goods and services across the universe to sell for a profit so I can play more Eve. Jerk off every once in a while. I could film that and make money. It's kind of like the most Eve thing that could happen to him in real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you found a way to make money in the game that's not in the game.
I mean, like, if I could get away with it, we wouldn't be recording right now.
Yeah. The problem is, I don't think anybody wants to pay to see me jerk off. Like, that's where it all falls apart for me.
That is absolutely where my plan falls apart as well. Yeah. I don't know that there's an audience for this, and if there were, I'm not sure I want to associate with them.
You don't want that fan base.
No, I don't think I do. Or maybe I do. I don't know. Yeah. All right. I've decided I'm going to crank one out on the internet. We'll see what happens. More later.
It's the live show. You got to tune into the live show for that.
Yeah, that's right. That's our final show.
It's our after show. After we record the podcast, we do a live broadcast of us jerking off.
Man. I'm not saying we should. I'm saying that would be one of the more hilarious hooks we could have as a podcast. Like, remember, folks, after the show, we'll be jerking off online.
Don't forget.
Right. Like, rate, review.
Yeah. And what's your quote, Justin? Don't forget to smash that like button.
There you go. Don't forget to smash that like button.
That's the news, man.
About that. Oh, it's so good.
That's the news.
All right. Folks, thanks very much for listening to the show. Before we get out of here, we're going to do one more time around the table and talk about what we're going to be playing in the coming fortnight. Justin, how about you?
Definitely some more Destiny 2, so I'll be getting some more of that in. There's an update for Escape from Tarkov coming out soon, so I will definitely be playing that again a little bit.
Excellent. John, how about yourself?
Destiny as well. I've been picking away at Zelda still. That game's just a fucking delight. Like, I can't get enough of it. It is the... Oh, it's Saturday afternoon. I got an hour. Let's play a little Zelda. It's a super fun game to play with my son. We both have our own save on it, and we kind of trade back and forth whose save we're going to play on, and we just kind of hot seat, pass the controller back and forth while we're doing that. It's just a super great game. Middle Earth, get to that. I'm really looking forward to Wolfenstein. Destiny and Wolfenstein are probably the answer you're looking for this question.
Yeah, oh man, I don't know when I'm going to jump into Wolfenstein. I want to, don't get me wrong, it ain't about that. It's just so much going on, man. So many games.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
It'll be there when you're ready.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing, like I feel this drive to just get right in at day one, but I really don't need to.
I'm getting better about that, I think.
But, I mean, other than it makes the show more interesting when I play new games.
Well, sure. But, you know, there's stuff that you can always find time to kind of dip your toes into. But, yeah, I think Destiny for me as well, for sure. You know, there's still a little time for... I don't know if Shadow of War is going to be my go-to. I kind of want to circle back to Tokyo Dark, which is a game I streamed a little bit of, and was, you know, after Doki Doki Literature Club, I'm seeing what other, like, you know, J-horror is out there in terms of games that's not, you know, as we discussed earlier, something horrible and creepy, which, oh boy, does that exist on Steam. I have now, like, my queue is starting to fill up with, like, anime visual novel games, and some of that stuff looks a little sketchy. Don't they cut out nudity on Steam, though? Is that a thing?
I
feel like there's an editing that is done for some of those games.
I think maybe they quit doing that, which is why there's kind of this deluge of all that type of stuff.
Huh. But yeah, after playing Doki Doki Literature Club, it's like, you like games with anime. It's like, I don't know. That might be overstating it. And you seem insistent, Steam. So maybe I do. Maybe you're right. Gabe's right. But
Gabe's always right.
Yeah. Check out sdfgaming.com. There you can find links to old episodes of the podcast, as well as some videos and some reviews and all kinds of stuff over there, as well as legionpodcasts.com, which is kind of the feed that puts it out. So check us out over there too on the Facebook, SDF Gaming on Twitter. All that stuff's on the front page of sdfgaming.com. Go over there and just do what thou wilt. As long as it harms no other. Isn't that the Satanist credo?
Sure.
All right.
It can be.
Trying to go out on a good note, you know. Yeah. Hail Satan.
Looking at Tim's Pornhub page, it's easy to dismiss it as a 30-something guy touching himself in front of a webcam. But Tim says there's an artistry to the work. I was actually trained in photography and graphic design, and camera angles are very important in getting views and attracting attention, he says. And just like any YouTuber, audience interaction is a must. You'll get requests from people to perform to their image, but you'll also get requests for certain camera angles too. And if there's enticing voice work or music going on in the background to improve the act that I'm doing, that makes it more sensual for my fans in general.
I wonder how much it costs to get him to do it to a photo of Jar Jar Binks. I wonder if it's more than $350.
See, PewDiePie could do something like that, right? Do something for good.
Folks, that's the podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.